Hello and welcome to Board Stupid, the podcast that loves tabletop board games, D&D and other awesome stuff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Simon.
I'm Ant.
Welcome, Anthony. How are you?
Well, hi, guys. Thank you for having me back. Noobs are back, baby.
Yeah.
The Ant-Man from the MTVB podcast.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me back.
The Ant-Man himself is in the building. And I recently was on, was it season 5?
Season 5, yeah.
MTVB. Chatting about our collections, and that was fun. All of the stuff that we wouldn't sell at all costs, which is a very interesting discussion.
It was good, very good episode. Thank you. Thank you for coming
sell
on that.
None of it, I'd hope.
I would. Well, I'd sell some of it.
Tune in and find out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Find out the things I definitely wouldn't sell. That's for sure. And you'll find that out on Ant's episode. Yes. So, thank you very much for joining us. So, we're the nerds that talk about the things we love that are worth geeking out over. So, Simon, are you ready?
I sure am.
You sure am. Ant, are you ready?
I sure am.
And if you guys are ready, let's have a little catch-up, because it's been a little while on all of the world's gaming news, all of the gaming views, and the highlights of the last monthus. I can't remember, like, Brian month with time, I don't know, with views, news, and automobiles.
Let's crack
news
on.
Views. Let's crack on as we dive into this week's episode. This week, it's a roundup, and we haven't done one of these in a while. In this show, we talk about our favourite gaming moments, we're going to discuss our pick of the most interesting crowdfunding projects in the world today, the next big thing to take a slice out of our wage packets, and break down the tabletop gaming news, stories, and news and views that tickle our respective fancies.
Wayne's looking at me rather weirdly as he says those words. It's a little disturbing, but Ant's here to back me up, so I'm good.
Hey, look, I like my fancies getting tickled. What can I say?
There's nothing
wrong with getting your fancies tickled. All right, then. And as you are the guest for today, talk to us about your gaming highlights for the last couple of months. Is there anything that's particularly memorable, either a specific point or a specific game that you've enjoyed?
Yeah, so basically I've tried a couple of new games for, or an older game, shall I say, for the first time. So Love Letter, I finally got to play it.
Oh, wow, which version?
The Batman version.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
The version someone might not sell, let's put it that way. A little spoiler for the episode there. But no, very excited about that, and very grateful to actually finally play it as well. It's one that's been on my list for a while. And now that I can't afford to get the Batman one, so I now have the Jabba's Palace version.
Okay.
So that'll make up for it anyway.
Is the Batman one a particular collector's item these days then? Or?
Yeah. For those listening, Google that.
Okay.
And good luck getting a copy of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like unicorn crap, isn't it? It's very difficult to find.
Okay.
So did you buy a copy after we played it then?
Yeah, so I bought the Jabba's Palace edition. I think that's the newest version that's out at the moment.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, so that's the one I have. I also got to play, being a big Star Wars fan, and Karen, if you're listening, hello Karen, I know you listen to the show, he finally introduced me to Star Wars Rebellion.
What a game.
Which
as well.
I absolutely adore. I think that game is fantastic. I've been to his a couple times now to play the Empire or the Rebellion.
Yeah.
Really enjoy that game so much that I even asked my wife to get it for my birthday, and yes, so
that game takes all day to play.
It's crazy.
Was it like a 4 or 5 hour epic?
So it was kind of an evening thing, but he after explaining it as we went along, it's definitely hard to be the Rebellion, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's really
that one. Yeah,
part.
But that was one I really enjoyed. Forgotten Waters was another one you introduced to me. I really, really love that game.
That is a fun one.
I'm gutted I missed out on the second round of play on that.
We'll play again.
Definitely.
There's stuff that we need to get you for the third, for sure.
And getting you to finally play Crokinole.
Oh, Crokinole.
Was a definite highlight. The smile on your face was just what I needed.
Still haven't found time to get around.
No. Yeah. Well, we only just got it in.
Yes.
But yeah, that's my highlights for the last few months.
Crokinole is amazing, and we need to get a tournament, as you said. So we'll try and get that together as soon as
that'd
possible. Just whenever we can do that, I'm in. That's some amazing gaming.
Yeah,
and
that's
some
that's
great
a few.
Highlights. yeah, just a few. Simon, what about you?
Well, I genuinely have actually made a list this time, which is unusual for me.
Proud of you.
But I've had a few in varying different factors, rather than just listing the games I've played, although that's always fun in itself.
Yeah.
I'm going to name some that I've played in different places to kind of highlight different elements of the hobby. So I was introduced on a very much crash course during one lunchtime to Race for the Galaxy.
Oh, okay. That's a great game. Yeah.
With a
yeah.
colleague at work. So that was very good fun. But yeah, we literally had 45 minutes for him to try and explain, this is how all of these cards interoperate. And
oh my
good
God.
Luck.
Do you know what? That's one of the games that I just... I know it's really well rated, but it just never gelled with me. And I've played it a few times now.
Uh-huh.
I just can't get it.
It's quite a wall to get over, I think, to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed my quick playthrough. I definitely give it an more in-depth, more spacious play. And I think Tom has a copy with a few add-ons.
He does, yeah.
I'm sure the opportunity is there. So yeah, that was a nice work introduction. With family more recently, I've played a much... shorter, smaller game called Quictionary. You guys know I like word games, mm-hmm. and this is kind of an abstract thinking game as much as anything. You get three sets of cards, yellow, red, and blue, and you turn one of each over per uh-huh. round. One of them will tell you a word associated with, for example, space.
Uh-huh.
The next one will give you your first condition, so containing no more than six letters.
Right.
And then the third card will give you a second condition, not containing the letter H.
Ooh, that's
so you've
cool.
got a word associated with space, no more than six letters, and doesn't contain the letter H.
So you have to come up with that,
yep.
I see.
You have to meet those criteria. First one to shout out a word that matches, you win that point, and you pick up one of those three cards. So you can change one of the conditions,
you
can change one of the subjects.
That's smart.
So two of them will stay to the next round. So if you really hate the fact that it's limited to six letters, you pull that card.
Yes.
It comes out with a new condition. It might be... exactly 10 letters long. Like, oh, damn it. Now I need to think of a space word that doesn't have an H in and is 10 letters.
That's
really
cool.
Challenges both your ability to spell, obviously, but your kind of your critical and conditional thinking to go, does this truly meet the criteria? Because some of it's fairly abstract, like a word associated with love.
Yeah.
And that struck up. I was playing with my nephews and nieces, so kind of 12, 10, and 8, and then like, coming out with all kinds of stuff. I'm like, oh, I would never have considered that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a thought process as much for game, but
yeah,
really
so you're
exciting.
Digging into your vocabulary, but then also trying to link concepts together.
Yeah.
Sounds smart.
It's a great fun, truly family game. It's recommended at 12 plus, but as I played it with younger ones, give them a little bit of time to think and they come out with some fantastic answers. I have borrowed your copy of Wingspan. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Introduced a bunch of new players to that. They really enjoyed it. I couldn't help but spank them on one of the games because I had such an amazing engine build. I'm like, now I'm just going to revel in this.
I'm just going to destroy people.
Always love introducing people to new games, and they really took to it. So
was this at work, or was this a
this
family?
Was family again.
Beautiful,
yeah, this
yeah.
was my partner and family.
It's fantastic. You played that as well, Ant?
Yeah, you've
that's right. We played
it to me, didn't you? Yes.
Yeah, it is a cracking
it's
game.
It's all about that instruction booklet, though.
It is, dude. Yeah, just feels so nice.
That's it. That's why I don't own a copy. Because when I actually play the game, I'll just be playing
just touching the paper.
Yeah, right.
We'll swing back around to Wingspan in a little bit. One of the other elements of this show, D&D. We are continuing. Kev, thankfully, is still running his mini campaign. I know, Wayne, you've not been able to make that quite so much recently, but we're having a cracking time. He's continuing and giving us a great story to play through. Private little highlight of that was I had a double crit.
So two crits on
the
bounce?
Two crits in a row,
wow.
Dealing stupid amount of damage, wiping out two enemies back to back. So that's always a great highlight. And then my last main highlight, I think, hopefully going to be on yours as well, is we had a games evening with Mr. Chris from the Comic Show.
Oh, we did as well, and it was great fun.
Great to catch up with him. Chris, you know we love you, and hopefully see you again soon. And we played one of your new games, Sniper Elite, one of Tom's new games with War of Whispers.
Which is all good, yeah.
And then the ridiculous dexterity game of Men at Work, which I'm sure we'll do an episode on soon.
We have to, because it's so much fun, right? I mean, that game is ridiculous.
Do you know Men at Work at all, Ant?
I know of it. I've never played it.
Okay. It's, I mean, they're bigger than Lego figures, but basically trying to stack pieces of building material in the most ridiculous fashion.
Yes.
Based on randomly drawn cards.
Yeah.
And you're just looking at it going, it's like reverse Kaplunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's maddening, but hilarious.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's like a Jenga that doesn't end, right? Mm. You know, Jenga ends when the thing collapses. This doesn't. The building site might collapse. You just carry on, and then the next person has to fish out the dead bodies from underneath the building site. It's just
Brilliant.
So they are my many and varied highlights for the week.
Very nice indeed. Yeah, there's some really great stuff in there. I'm going to join the pair of you. It's nice and easy for me as the third person and host of the show to say, Crokinole, yes, absolutely. I enjoyed the hell out of that. It's such a classic. And I immediately thought, do I want a Crokinole board?
you were tempting, contemplating every time you hit a 20.
So. Yeah, I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
It's one of those things that falls into like luxury furniture as much as a game. Right. So if you're in that market.
Absolutely. Sniper Elite was another massive highlight. It's a new one for me. We've got content on our YouTube channel. We talked about that, how we played it at UKGE where it was launched. And it was bloody great, to be fair. We had a great time with that. I also played TI4 again recently at the weekend and continued my streak of second places. So Karen won, I think, for the second time in a row, and I've been second place, I think, just a lot. always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And then I played Wonderland's War.
Ah, yes. Oh, okay. With Chris.
Yeah, with... Different Chris.
There's many Chris.
Yeah, Chris B. And he had that for his birthday, and it's fantastic.
I've only seen it, but I've not played it.
It has a kind of a Quacks of Quedlinburg element where you have a bag-building mechanism for combat, and it's fabulous the way it works together. It's way more weighty than I imagined it to be.
Okay.
So it's a complex game.
It's kind of cartoony in its aesthetic.
Presentation, yes. Yeah. Very like hyper-realized Alice in Wonderland. But it's got this sort of area control mechanism, a la something like Rising Sun, Blood Rage, which you have, you know, contested regions of the board. So you're moving your troops into the regions, and then you are fighting with the bag building. So you're pulling out tokens from your bag, which will push you up a power track, and whoever ends up the highest on the power track wins the battle.
Okay, that sounds like a really interesting way of managing that kind of thing.
Managing battle and using a bag building and, you know, bag pulling element to fight, so to speak. But you go bust if you end up with no more soldiers or creatures in the realm.
Okay.
So whenever you pull out a madness token, which are kind of like the, the cherry bombs in Quacks, you lose a figure. And if you pull out enough of those, then obviously you lose all your figures and you go bust. So very clever. So if you want to guarantee the win, you need to stack it full of guys and hope that you don't pull too many madness tokens.
Right.
Very, very smart. And we played a hell of a lot of Living Forest, and it's very good.
Yeah,
and
we'll talk about it a bit later. Living Forest. Well. I need to get some more gameplay on that one.
And we've got a new video on that on our YouTube channel. And I actually got to play the Zier expansion.
You did?
Which was a brain burn. I mean,
it added so much. I wasn't able to play, but I popped along and saw all of the added stuff. And I went, how have they added so many things to this?
It was heavy going. It's not an easy game anyway, right? Yes, it's dice rolly, Ameritrashy BS. Stuff just happens and it's great fun.
Yeah.
But this just makes it gives you more to think about. It makes it much more, just more options.
Gonna make my brain hurt. Do you know Zio at all, Ant? Around space being a tradesman
space
or taxi
game.
Or
I think you'd quite like it,
bandit.
To be fair.
I think you'd enjoy it.
I think you would,
well,
you
said space, so it's up my street.
It's like, Western Legends in space. It's a sandbox game.
Yeah, that's not a bad comparison, actually.
Yeah, so you could race around the galaxy doing as you wish to score points. So very, very cool. Very nice. Yeah, so there's some cracking stuff in there, chaps. Let's move on to the Kickstarters of note. Is there anything that took your fancy from the Kickstarter or Game Found or crowdfunded?
Have you dropped in world. Big volumes of cash on anything?
Or even if you haven't dropped anything, is there anything you sort of thinking
so
about
I
or almost did?
I did at one point. Okay. So I did put a lot of money into the Zombie Side Marvel Zombies.
Oh, yeah.
But then I did get a separate email from Kimon, whatever you pronounce it, saying that shipment was going to be $180.
Yeah, did you cancel it?
On top of it. So I cancelled straight away.
Okay. Wow.
And at the same time, I missed it, but apparently it's coming back at the end of this month at the time of recording, is a game called Sea of Legends by Guildhall Studios.
Okay.
Looks very interesting. Looks very much like Sea of Thieves for the Xbox game. Okay, but the minis and stuff look just amazing. And very pirate themed as well. So fingers crossed I can get hold of a copy of that when it goes back.
It's going to be another big box of plastic though. You said minis. So.
Well, you have to see it to believe it.
Okay, okay.
But it's very good.
I'm wondering,
anyway.
Do you mind telling us what you funded initially for... the Zombicide Marvel.
Oh, so so just the normal core box as well as the massive Galactus statue, yeah. Which is another expansion as well on top, like they did with Cthulhu Death May Die. You had the massive statue, but there was an actual expansion. But yeah, obviously that tall model is the reason why it was nearly 100. I think it was like 175.
So what was the initial amount that you funded?
Oh, come on, what was it called? The Galactus Invader.
No, do you know how much it was? How much money?
Oh, sorry. So for that was, I think that was $300 for that pledge.
So it's like half again. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
well, over half again.
Yeah. As we found out though when talking to GameQuest, volumetrics, so tall things cost more money.
Yeah, I mean, I should have known that coming, but when you see it, you don't think about the shipment at the time. You're just like,
took a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah, there's another plug there. So we've got a great interview on our YouTube channel with Nigel from GamesQuest, and they've also put it up on their website.
They have
under sort of resources for new designers and publishers. You can go and check the link on GamesQuest website and see our interview with Nigel, and yeah, he goes through all of the things that publishers do that make the shipping costs obscene like they are right now. And Seaman are also guilty possibly of not choosing an appropriate local partner, which is going to cost them
a tricky balance, particularly at the moment. There's just a base
with
level
that,
and when you're dealing with that volume of plastic, there's a base level that you just can't get around in terms of cost, unfortunately.
Oh, it's brutal.
Even domestic shipping in the US was more than people were expecting, to the tune of $75 plus, because the cost from manufacturing in China to the States was a bucket of money.
And publishers aren't including it in the game price, right? If it is more sort of baked into the cost, you wouldn't mind so much, right? If 60 quid of that shipping cost was added to the various game components and you didn't know, you wouldn't care so much. You
see, nothing worse than getting a separate email saying you owe us another $120.
It's crazy. Anyway, so any Kickstarters for you, Simon?
I have backed one.
Ooh.
Which you guys will have heard me mention the Dungeons and Lasers terrain sets before.
Yes.
Archon Studios came out with their latest one, which is Encounters.
Okay.
So we've left Woodhaven, which is their town, from Dungeons and Lasers 3. And we're now out in the wild. So we've got Elven Woods, the Swamps of Doom, and the Land of Giants.
It's very evocative, isn't it?
As the three main areas, each coming with unique sculpts. So lots more trees, rocks, that kind of thing. And then a whole nother pack of creatures. This was a very successful again for Archon. They raised just shy of 950,000 euros from an original target of 50,000. So it's about 1,100% backed.
Wow.
They've done really well. Late Pledge was due to open a couple of days ago. Should be open by the time you hear this. Pledges start at 99 euros for... you get two of those starter packs. I went for the four pack at 149. I've just received the previous one, so I've got all of my Woodhaven stuff. Wayne, you've seen the picture of some of it.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the amount of plastic that I've got, and mine was such a moderate order. Yes. I'm on the fans page on Facebook. People have £1,000 plus orders.
Just crates of stuff.
You can literally cover the floor of this room with terrain tiles and
it's
miniatures, and the quality is fantastic.
What's the Marvel game that you've got where it's the small sort of one versus one little minis game?
Marvel United.
I've seen some Kickstarter deliveries of that where someone's gone all in and it's just mountains.
The stack is near the same size of them. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's wild.
I've received my... first one, my of those, first one, kind of as the time funded. As the second one launched, I'm sold. I'm back in this. They say it's due for May next year, and then have very quietly said, but we might be able to do it by December.
Nice.
That's what you want to hear.
They were sooner the better.
They were 2 to 3 months early shipping the previous one, so see how it goes. They're definitely ramping up their stuff. In terms of stuff I've looked at but not backed, there's been a whole ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Some quick highlights. The Wormwood, the famed table makers. They're finally launching after 5 years of people clamoring, launching their GM screen. They famously made Matt Mercer's one for Critical Role.
Yes.
It's not a copy of that, but super high end, minimum buy-in of $65 for this. But it's basically a build your own. So choose your wood, choose the number of panels.
Right.
They are super high quality. You could be spending hundreds, if not thousands, on super high end. You can get gemstone inserts, magnet trackers, all kinds
really?
Of nonsense.
Wow.
At time of recording, they were up to $730,000 of backing. on a 10,000 targets.
Really? That's
people go mad for it.
Yeah.
We've mentioned before Moonrakers.
Yes, it's such a beautiful production.
The aesthetic, every time I see it, I'm like, oh, that looks...
Ben bought that game.
He did?
He has a copy of it.
Okay.
He does not have the Kickstarter, the new Kickstarter edition. Mm. He has the original, which he ordered. I saw it. We didn't get to play it. We didn't have time because it was the same day as Wonderland's War. Uh-huh. But the production quality is second to none. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It looks phenomenal. So Ben then might be interested. One of the levels of backing is... what they're calling the Titan box.
Yes, just expansions, I think.
You can buy it with just the expansions if you already own the core game, and then get it with the box to store it all in. So it's looking super shiny and interesting. So
yeah, very keen to play that, actually.
Yeah, and then also on Kickstarter, the Dungeon Dudes are back. I'm a big fan of these guys, two Canadian guys.
There's a YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's right. So they'll give you guides on everything to do with D&D. They also do an actual live playthrough. They've done 3 seasons, I think, of that. I'm halfway through the second one. Great fun, quite different to Critical Role. So if you've only ever seen Critical Role as a live playthrough and enjoy that, want to try something else, Dungeon Dudes, The Shadows of Drakenheim is the second season, which I'm partway through. They're back with the second Kickstarter, Sebastian Crowe's Guide to Drakenheim. So it's a source book, essentially, a bit like Mercer did with the Tal'Dorei campaign.
Yes, okay.
So loads of subclasses, new monsters, new rules for contamination and all kinds of nasty Cthulhu-type
soldiers.
Cthulhu!
I think you get a kick out of it.
Yeah, beautiful.
I've got a bunch more stuff listed from GameFound as opposed to Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Rather than going into too much detail, Amygdala. I think I sent you a screenshot of this before. Yes. The super psychedelic.
That's right.
From Michael Kiesling and Wolfgang Kramer, who did Us All,
they're
Paris,
legendary.
And so on.
The pair of them do great designs. Yeah.
This looks like a great kind of wacky delve into the workings of the mind with some the craziest colour set I've ever seen. You know, it's going to give Dinosaur Island a run for its money.
It says it all.
Yeah.
Tainted Grail is getting a standalone expansion, The Kings of Ruin.
I backed out of that. I initially went in for it, and then I sort of went, I don't know if I want to go in with it, because I was kind of umming and ahhing.
Yeah,
I'm kind of glad I didn't, to be fair, in the end.
It looks like our kind of thing, but also not necessarily one I wanted to dive in on.
Yeah, it's just another long, grindy campaign, which we just don't have the time for.
For the tagline alone, Utopia, which is a kind of a... not quite sure how to explain it. The video did go into some depth, but the tagline for it was, "You're a time baron, but also a megalomaniac."
I saw that. What a great tagline. Yeah.
You're essentially building a small crew of pilots who are based on famous characters throughout time, and you're sending them back or forwards through time to ensure certain activities occur or don't, to manipulate the timeline based on certain criteria you get on your mission cards.
Okay.
It sounds like fun. Again, not sure I'm one I'll actually back in the end, but just that tagline made me giggle. Yeah. And I saw again yesterday, The Last Light, as we've mentioned before,
that
supposed 4X game in under an hour.
Brian from the Dice Tower, that's his design.
Okay.
And it has this very clever sort of rotating board. Right, so you have kind of like a Lazy Susan type thing?
Yeah, imagine like a star system where you've got the central and then
central
as you come
sun.
Out on the rings and the whole board turns and like the planet, the planet's
sort of
orbit as
orbit the sun
game.
And that changes the board state every round. Very, very
interesting. Late Pledge is available on that starting from $84. So it's kind of the higher end, so it's kind of made me hesitate, but it does look really intriguing.
Yeah, we were so close to going in the last time and we just didn't do it. There's some amazing stuff at the moment. I mean, I'm not going to go into a massive amount. I mean, I've picked two here just because you folks have got
Of monopolised.
No, you crack on. I mean, yeah, the listeners will pick what they like, but the one that I've seen is Davy Jones's Locker, which is The Kraken Wakes. And that has basically popped up recently. There's 14 days to go on that. It is a cooperative game, fully cooperative for 1 to 4 players, but it's split into 2 acts. So the idea is in Act 1, you work together, you hire crew, you upgrade your ships, etc. And then in Act 2, you're in an all-out battle with the Kraken, and you're trying to fight the Kraken.
Oh, okay.
And there's literally... In Act 2, you put a Kraken mini on and all of the tentacles around the board.
Oh, amazing.
And you're trying to like defeat the Kraken's tentacles in the main area. Really, really cool. I'll just quickly show you here. I know it's not very good for the audio.
Wow, there's detail in
but
that.
You have like this It's a lovely looking design, very sort of an aged, oldie worldy map.
Yeah, that looks very nice.
And then the individual tentacle mini sculpts with the Kraken head, which you then put on the board in Act 2 of the game.
You seem to have more of an affinity with pirates than I realised. Between between this and Forgotten Waters, and you've got Robinson Crusoe still due.
Robinson Crusoe coming, yes. And I really like your copy of Livazalia. That's also very good.
Oh, yeah, I need to take that back.
You do, yeah. Yeah, we need to do a games amnesty. Bring me Wingspan and we'll... Yeah. You can take what you need. And then what else do I have that's piratey? I can't remember. There's a few things. Anyway, so that looks very interesting indeed. And then the other one that interested me was a game called Hijacked, which is... It's actually ending today at the time of recording. So
yeah,
probably
I've had Hijacked advertised to me a lot.
Marketized. that is ending today at the time of recording, so you could probably late pledge at this point when you listen. It's a semi-cooperative dice placement game where you take on the role of independent negotiators trying to save passengers on a hijacked plane before the police team get there, right? So you're trying to negotiate them down. The idea being, a passenger plane was hijacked at the airport and you work together to establish trust with the hijackers who have demands that you need to meet. And if you can meet those demands, you get to free the hostages and free the aircrew. You need to do it in a certain amount of time. So it looks very cool. But the thing that really brought this to my attention is that it's a green game. So it's by a company called Green Games, I believe. Let me just double check that. Yeah. Greenest Games is the company, the publisher.
So it's just like... carbon neutral resources and
yes,
so on.
Yes, so they say that the game is produced with the best natural eco-friendly materials and no plastics are used. And they say that we think a product needs to be from the best quality. It's produced in Europe, but must not harm the world that we live in. So that's quite nice.
Yeah, it is.
And it's unusual, at least in... Well, it's becoming more popular, but this is the first Kickstarter I've seen where this is front and center. Mm. They're going... Well, our company is Greenest Games. So this is the game. It's hijacked. It sounds really cool. You're going to do this stuff. It's a co-op. You're going to negotiate with terrorists and you're going to save hostages. Also, this is 100% green. We're not using any plastic.
Eco-friendly.
This is recycled. It's all locally sourced. It's European.
Yeah, and it looks like a reasonably big box game, as it were. And the bigger you get, the harder that is to sustain, I'd imagine.
Yeah, you'd have thought so because, you know... Yeah, paper is still a perishable resource, so the assumption is that this is all made from recycled materials.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll see. I'm going to follow this just for the purpose of looking through their production, right, and to see how close they stick to that principle, because I think that would be interesting, and seeing if any other publishers start to follow suit. If this is a success and can do so in a sustainable way, I think that'd be great for board games going forward.
Yeah, and we said before, haven't we, when we discussed this, even things like shrink wrapping the box. Sure, it protects the box, but I'll take a small nick here and there if it means I don't have plastic to throw away.
Quite.
Right?
And games without baggies, just that you don't need baggies in every single game, right? Mm. I get games that are just like, they give you like 30 baggies. I don't need any of these. I need maybe two.
And you're always there for spares.
You're always there for spares. Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? So all of that stuff. Anyway, so those are the two that caught my attention, and I'm going to keep a close eye on those. So.
Nice.
All right, should we dig into the news? Any interesting news items that have...
We don't have pre-recorded jingles like
MTV. Yeah, I know. I need to up my game.
And Jason with his little stings.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't have any of that stuff.
It's got me making mouth noises.
Have either of you played Betrayal at House on the Hill?
Yes, I own it.
No, I have not.
The newest edition, though. The third edition.
This is something we should probably play over Halloween for sure.
Yes,
but there
yes,
is
please.
A new expansion that's been released.
Ooh, intrigued.
Or was announced, sorry, not released. And it's called The Werewolf's Journey, Blood on the Moon. It introduces new components around a new werewolf character.
Ooh.
So it has five additional haunts related to the character.
Okay.
The character is Sarah, a teenage werewolf. And she has feral characteristics, which are worse for the team if she is the... betrayer or she's the target of the haunt, but are also good for the team if she's not. So that's quite clever, and that's going to be quite an interesting one.
I didn't believe there was even expansions coming for it. That's not long come out, the third edition.
No, so they've just released the fourth edition, right? Yeah. For Betrayal. And is it fourth or third? Whatever the most recent
third.
One.
It's third. One of the two.
So
either
third
one.
Then. So whatever the most recent one is, this is for that. Alongside the cleaned up rule set, so that should be quite interesting.
Nice.
Yes.
I'll be up for that.
Yes. There is a Stranger Things board game that was announced.
Another one? Surely there must have been one.
Is that the Zabby one?
No, this is actually being done by Simon.
Oh,
and, okay. And more excitingly, is designed by Rob Davio, who did the Pandemic Legacy games.
Ooh. Aha, sold on both counts.
Okay.
Okay.
That's interesting.
So, I am a huge Stranger Things fan.
So the first thing you go, oh, right, crappy IP license game. No. First, Simon Games. Secondly, Rob Davio. So that's exciting. There isn't much like solid news. Rob is saying it's like 98%, 99% done. Where is the interesting bit here? So it says here, all that we really know for sure is it's a cooperative game and you're trying to save Hawkins from the Upside Down. That's basically all they're saying right now. So basically, stay tuned for more, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a strong IP to be able to use. I can already think of a good few strong mechanics that you could put into that. So I'm really curious to see where they go with it.
Yeah, and whether or not it's going to be a legacy style thing or a legacy light, or if they're going to forego that and Rob is just going to sort of just dig in and do something new or interesting.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated to see what they do with that, which
Take
is good.
Take my money.
Yeah, quite, right? The Exit games, you know, from Cosmos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As we actually broke this news during UKGE, and they told us that they are going to be reprinting the Exit Advent calendar.
Yes, I saw a picture, I think, of something
they
coming.
They only just announced that at Gen Con. So yes. We broke the news before the actual announcement.
Nice.
Woo-hoo.
So, just out there, we're not totally full of BS. We do come to you with some news. So that's going to be reprinted this year. And get your hands on it quickly, because they went immediately. I think it was like 5,000 copies and they sold out quick. Yeah. So like an advent calendar, but it's also like a little mini escape room that you can do. So each day is a different little puzzle that leads you to the next day, which is quite cool.
That'll be fun. I'm actually here this evening recording fresh from an escape room at Tully's Farm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was really good fun. Really good fun. There was a couple of new ones available and I went for the spellcraft ones.
So yeah.
You're kind of dealing with some mystical symbols and hexes and stuff. Really, really good fun. So that's our local. It's kind of become a hive of different things at Tully's Farm in West Sussex.
Locally.
Great attraction. If you're anywhere in the southeast and you are into escape rooms of any kind and you've not visited Tully's Farm, I would highly recommend it. I think it's fantastic quality. The production on, particularly this new one that I went to today, top notch. Admittedly, I've not done a vast number of them, but I've got an absolute kick out of this. Had a blast. And we got out with 8 seconds to spare.
Wow. That is so close going.
That was really good fun.
I've got a couple more bits. You might even have them, to be fair, because if this is relevant to your interest, Pandasaurus announced 2 big bits of news.
Yeah, I had a couple of bits from Gen Con. So yeah, it sounds like we're in similar areas. 55 years Gen Con's been going. I was amazed. I don't understand how that's even...
That's insane.
I can't picture it.
No, nor can I.
Knowing how much our hobby has grown in the last 10, 20 years.
10, 15,
I mean, I should have done more research, admittedly, to see what Gen Con 1 was more like, but...
That's wild.
I think it's amazing that we're on 55 years or something.
Ever fancied going to Gen Con?
Yes.
Yeah.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, yeah, I think that would be fun
to do. The world's biggest gaming convention.
No, that's Spiel. It's the United States' biggest. Yes. Apparently Spiel is like 4 Gen Cons.
Really?
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe. I mean, we'll find out in October, so...
Yeah, according to, you know, Ant-Man Vassal, that is the, Tom Vassal. Hi, folks. It's really, really... Spiel is big. But maybe for... It's something I might want to do next year. I've got bucket list stuff to do. And
you had me at Gen. You didn't have to put the con part in.
Yeah. Maybe next year. We'll think about it. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean...
I get to meet Tom Bassett.
It's our birthday soon, but we ain't that old. So you say bucket list, but...
I know, yeah.
We're the right side of 40, dude. You don't have to
be my last. Well, I just turned that, so...
Any day could be my last. Yeah, but no, interesting.
Yeah, so Pandasaurus, the wolves.
Yes, it's on my list there. Go on. Talk to us about the wolves.
Well, you might have more down than I do, because... I scribbled a bit and you've got a computer in front of you.
I cheat.
A pack building strategy game for 2 to 5 players due out towards the end of October for $49.95. The artwork for this immediately caught my eye, as most Pandasaurus games do. This great close-up of a wolf's eye with this fantastic mixture of colours inside it. and then the known quality that is Pandasaurus games generally.
We have, you know, I think we're kind of fanboys for Pandasaurus because they just do good stuff.
So, yeah.
They do good stuff. We, yeah, unwittingly, we just bought the stuff and it's always been great. Dinosaur Island being, I think, my first Pandasaurus game. And then Brew being another excellent one. And then you've got Skate Summer on the way, which, by the way, I've seen some previews and people are raving about that game, saying it's a Game of the Year contender
for
them.
They air freighted 100 copies to Gen Con, which sold out by the end of the Saturday.
Wow.
And then shipping is, well, it's just reaching port now in the States, having been on the slow boat from China, as everything is in our hobby. But.
Yeah, yeah, quite.
But yeah, shipping is imminent on Skate Summer and I am hyped for it.
It looks amazing.
It looks so good.
So yeah, the Wolves as a sort of action selection mechanism, apparently. So each action requires you to flip terrain tiles that match the terrain where you wish to take your action. Mm-hmm. These are double-sided tiles, and it means the actions that you take this round will set up which terrain types you can act on in the second round. So as you're flipping, you'll take actions, but then it will affect the future rounds.
Nice.
So, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
But that looks very, very cool. And they've also, Pandasaurus, got a bit of a coup, right, with Elizabeth Hargrave's next game.
Okay.
Did you know this?
I think I've seen it, but it's not fresh in my memory to...
So, Elizabeth Hargrave being the designer and creator behind Wingspan.
Okay.
Right. And she has designed a brand new board game based on the... Okay, let me get this right. Believ Trut experiment.
Sure. Yeah, everyone knows the Believ Trut experiment.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah.
The Fox experiment.
That's right. Yeah. The Fox experiment. So the idea behind the history... Yeah, how didn't we know this? I didn't know what that... I didn't know what the hell this was.
And, it's only from having
I'll take your word for it, Si.
It's only from having looked at the Pandasaurus page.
I have no idea what this is. So the actual experiment was... an aim to domesticate wild foxes, right? So that was the experiment, to breed foxes together, to get more and more placid, domesticated fox types, and then see what happened. And that's the idea behind this game, is you are picking, you know, types of foxes to then breed and get resulting cubs to try and get the desired characteristics. Mm. So a very avant-garde subject matter, right?
Sure. Really... Yeah, kind of odd choice to choose to gamify, as it were.
Yeah, which is interesting. I mean, Wingspan was already quite... It's an amazing example of theme gameplay interaction, right? Where the level of detail in that game, in terms of making sure that everything is right, and even including the number of eggs that each bird lays and stuff, right, is super, super close to the bone. This is going to be very, very strange. It's a very, very strange subject to build a game on, but I have every faith because it's Pandasaurus and there's Elizabeth Hargrave doing something together.
And so gone from Stone Mine to Pandasaurus. Though.
Interesting,
so
right?
That's the interesting part, isn't
that
it?
That is.
Really?
I'm wondering why Jamie didn't pick this game up.
Mm.
I'm wondering, is the
it
subject...
It sounds like a Stone Mine game, and obviously...
It does, but is it that the subject matter was too avant-garde for Jamie?
Mm.
Perhaps. It's had rave reviews or feedback from what I've seen on the social media for Pandasaurus. So.
It's an unusual choice of subject matter, but it will be fascinating to see how that's implemented. And to be fair, I don't mind something a bit different. This evening we played Furnace,
mm-hmm.
right? And for me, yeah, it's a game about sort of, was it Industrial Revolution capitalism,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, late 1800s.
Late 1800s, yeah. Industrial Revolution capitalism. Yeah, yeah. So, and... You know, typically that's not a game that I would immediately jump out and go, oh, that's my type of thing, I'm going to buy that, that's the theme that I like. But it's a fantastic game, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So theme isn't always everything, despite it being often quite a heavy thing. You know?
It's the theme for it is not up my street either, but just as gameplay alone, it's the same with Cascade. We played that straight afterwards, again... Not my sort of thing, but I really enjoyed the hell out of that game.
I could kind of tell when you were looking at the boxes, you were like, right.
So that's a great segue, Ant. How did you know? Let's segue into the next section here. And we're going to quickly talk about the Spiel des Jahres winning Cascadia, which we briefly introduced you to today.
Mm-hmm.
What were your initial thoughts in our quick and dirty playthrough?
To be honest, I thought it was going to be a lot longer to learn the rules.
Yes.
It was very straightforward, very quick and easy. I did ask a few questions just to make sure I was doing the right thing. But once I got the hang of it and trying to, you know, make my patterns with scoring,
mm-hmm.
it's quite an easy follow. And I really want to play again, to be honest.
That's one of the beauties of it, is it's a quite short enough game, right? And yeah, so easy to pick up. You can crack out back-to-back games with it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's got some addictive mechanisms. It's very easy to learn, very easy to teach, easy to play. It's pick a pair and place them.
Yep.
Three piece. Pick a pair, place it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can understand that concept, you're golden. And I can see what the judges enjoyed about it. The theme is beautiful. It has that wonderful accessibility. It has a very German Euro vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You can play it with families. And I think that's typically what the SDJ is these days. It's a family accessible game that is well produced and well designed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super happy that it won. Obviously, I picked this one up a good few months ago now, so I'm happy. I mean, I don't need awards to enjoy games, but I'm very happy to see that this one picked up the award.
And then we had the Kennisfield ER, which was won by Living Forest, which we talked about briefly earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Very good game. All of the details about that are on our YouTube video, which you can find out about that. And also on our podcast episode. Have you played Living Forest, Ant?
No, I haven't.
It's one you need to stick on the list.
I do want to play, yeah.
Although you'll probably be the same as me and will think that Dune Imperium should have won the Kennisfield ER, because that was in the same category.
Dune all the way.
And Dune Imperium is amazing.
Yeah, they're kind of worlds apart.
I'm kind of biased on that.
They are, right?
I mean, far be it from me to choose what gets nominated for any given award. I'm some schmuck.
Tell me about it. I'm just some schmo with a microphone. This is like industry experts that deliberate over this for months.
My depth of knowledge and range of experience
is... Has Dune won anything?
No.
But been nominated.
To be fair, being nominated for the KDJ is a massive deal.
Says it all, yeah.
Yeah, it's a massive deal. I mean, thousands of games get released, and to be nominated is massive. So, it's a big deal for something that heavy, I think. So, but yeah, that's my news. Anything else, folks?
I know you had your Gen Con news, but I had one.
I'm looping back around.
I've only got one on here, because so basically 75% of my game news is from Bored Stupid or Meeple Minded, okay? So Jason, who obviously knows what I'm really into, sent me a message in three words: Marvel Legendary Encounters.
Yeah.
So Matrix Legendary Encounters.
Legendary Encounters, but the Matrix.
But the Matrix version, big pardon. Sign me up. I love Matrix. I love Legendary Encounters, so yeah, I've got to give it a
go. Even after the fourth movie? Or are we just discounting that?
Yeah, let's not bring that up.
I didn't even see that. Is it worth it?
You don't need to.
It was so odd. It's not that I didn't like it. I'm just confused.
Yeah, pretty much.
And this is coming from someone who genuinely loved the whole trilogy and didn't shit talk Revolutions like 90% of people who watched it. I didn't understand the fourth film at all.
Aww.
But... hey, it exists, and other things are coming.
Yes, this is a movie. That's the message.
It's something.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Okay, quick rundown. I'll keep this as legible as I can whilst not taking forever. Interested to see Modiphius have yet another extraordinary license in Spectre, the 007.
Okay. That's interesting.
Got some action at Gen Con. Looked very interesting. I follow them on Instagram and get excited every time I see the Fallout Wastelands minis, including one for Swan, who is one of my favourite bad guys from Fallout 4. He's terrifying.
Amazing.
You've not mentioned later games today.
I've not, but there's Ahoy, right?
They announced Ahoy, a role and dice placement game.
Smuggle
goods and control regions, due out in Q4 for $40.
Yeah, sort of lightly asymmetric three-player game, I think.
Yeah, it looks fun. Circling back around to Wingspan, as we mentioned earlier, Wingspan Asia is slowly being teased.
Is that an expansion
or a new board
game? No, it's going to be an add-on again.
Okay.
Due out in Q4, a whole bunch of new birds, as you'd imagine, including some new powers that are seen on the couple of teaser cards so far. So that looks very fun. And then it would be amiss of me to not mention anything Dungeons & Dragons related. Uh-huh. So quite a list from Wizards of the Coast. Obviously, we've got the new movie trailer came out.
We did.
And are you excited? I know it's not really a D&D guy, but...
I'll go see it.
Yeah.
We'll go first in line.
I'm well up for that.
If anything's like the 2001, that one's a classic.
Yeah.
Sure. Did it have Richard O'Brien in it? What am I thinking?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Yes, it did. Right?
Yes, it did. And Jeremy Irons.
The only thing I remember is Jeremy Irons, and I think Thora Birch, but even that might
That's right, she was, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, new movie looks great. I think it'll hit all the spots you want it to. Owlbears are seen in the trailer.
That's all I need. I'm sold. Owlbears.
Some kind of magic missiles and fireballs, you know, all the good stuff. People on the internet, as is their wont, have been crying that you can't do that. It's not a game of D&D. It is a movie based in the world. Best I can tell, the rules don't apply.
It's
the rule of cool above all else when you're making a multi-million dollar movie.
Well,
right?
they're utilizing the massive amount of creative content that already exists, right?
The depth of lore over the last 45 years is incredible.
You can make a dozen movies on the Forgotten Realms alone.
You can't cram that in a under 2 hour film. Really.
No,
given the campaigns literally last for years.
You could take Waterdeep and do any number of movies in that city alone.
Yeah, so. I think they're going to hit highlights to get some
delighted
squeals from audience members, myself included. So,
nice.
Looking forward to that. They have. Wizards of the Coast have Wizards Presents on the 18th of August, so that might be out by the time you listen to this. Who knows? We're going to announce some cool stuff. There's a new starter set out, the Dragons of Stormwreck Isle.
Okay.
Oddly, this has had a Target, the chain in America, a Target exclusive period of release.
Oh, like in a timed exclusive?
Yeah, it came out last week there on general sale October 4th.
Right, okay.
But this is replacing, as it were, the Lost Mines of Phalanndalvar starter set, which is where we got started.
That's
in more recent times.
I know there's been another starter set since.
There was.
And this is a third one, I guess.
Yeah,
the
other one you're referring to was not a direct replacement for the starter set itself, but yeah, kind of an introductory box.
Yeah, that's right.
Similar kind of thing. This is the official new starter set. Lost Mines of Phalanndalvar, by the way, is available for free to anyone with a D&D Beyond account. So sign up for free today. You can get free access to D&D Lost Mines of Phalanndalvar, which is a great campaign for levels 1 to 5.
Yep.
So if you want to dive in there.
It's a great first start. Yep.
I've arrived here today with my gorgeous copy of Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel. I got the Game Store alternate cover, which is fantastic pastel. Oh, it looks so pretty. So I'm going to go and have a read through that when I get a moment's rest. Need to go to bed first, of course.
Mm-hmm.
we also have Spelljammer, Adventures in Space coming out.
Spelljammer is the coolest setting.
Yeah.
Full stop. Flying space boats.
Nice.
I think you'd get a kick out of this. Yeah. If nothing previously has tempted you into the D&D universe. And
flying space boats.
Yeah. And these space boats aren't necessarily just a galleon with space sails. These are a living nautilus that you can go walk inside the jellyfish, and that is your thing.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Absolutely wild.
Like, bunch what? New sub-races, sub-classes, and so on. Interestingly, this is coming in a three-part set. Three 64-page books. So you've got one is the Adventurer's Guide, which is the kind of campaign setting details, character options, ship details, and so on for both DM and players. You then got Boo's Astral Menagerie, which includes the 60-plus new monsters, including such delights as murder comets. And
the murder comet.
And space clowns. I kid you not.
Space clowns sounds terrifying.
If you've not seen the artwork for it, have a look at it and then look up Johannes from the metal band Avatar and tell me that one is not a copy of the other.
I don't know what any of that means, so I'm going to Google that.
Yep. and then the third book in the pack is Light of Xerixis, which is an adventure for levels 5 to 8. So that's shaping up to be a great set. Again, slightly different timings, August 16th in the US, and then due for general release pretty much everywhere else in the world on September 13th. So lots to happen in the D&D universe in quarter four, and quite exciting. Nice.
That's a whole heap of stuff. There is so much going on in board gaming right now.
Discussion show is getting bigger. It gets bigger every year.
Right, it gets bigger every year. I can't believe I even forgot about the Leda Games release. Ahoy looks awesome. It's like they're straight to retail release, right? So they're bypassing the whole crowdfunding process and going, okay, let's just sell this and see how well it does.
Well,
and
they're of a scale to get that done.
Now they are, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's another Carl Ferrin jobby as well. I could be wrong. I'll have to check the art designer.
I think it was the same artist, different game designer, yes.
Yes, same artist, but not Cole Worley.
That's it.
That's right. They used the staff artist, Carl Ferrin, who is just amazing. Fabulous. Let's round this up, I guess. I'm going to just mention a couple of things that I bought that I think need to be highlighted.
Yes, please.
I've had a bit of a... I've been banging the drum for Roll and Write games recently. I bought Railroad Inc. and Ganshun Clever, and they are both phenomenal Roll and Write games that can be played in sort of 15 minutes or so and are just spectacular. Railroad Inc. is about the most relaxing game I've ever bought or played.
Yeah,
Beautiful.
I really enjoyed that. Do you know Roll and Write games as a general concept?
Like Forgotten Waters is Roll and Write, and sometimes Dungeons and Dragons is, in a way, right?
Not quite. They're a bit more rules bound than something like D&D. So
think of something initially like Yahtzee, right? As basic concept. You're rolling the dice and you're writing the results down on a piece of paper or of some sort or some description. It's riffing on that concept.
Yeah, but you're choosing. So say, Railroad Inc. was four dice that you rolled each round. You choose where you write down the results of them to basically link up your railroads.
Okay.
So you've got set positions you can put stuff in, but then within that, whatever is rolled, you write, but you choose where you put it down. So.
Okay.
It's very, very smart. It's just such a beautiful game. And I don't know what triggered my desire to want to play them, but now I've got into them, I need more. And there's some really, really good stuff coming out. And they're like the perfect travel game. If you like...
Didn't Dinosaur Island do one?
They did. Tom has. And I demoed it with him and it's bloody good.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for... As we're coming to the summer holidays, folks, and you're looking to take something with you on holiday to play with your partner, I would thoroughly recommend Railroad Inc. And if you want something a bit more brain-burny, Ganshun Clever.
I've also got Trek 12, which I've yet to get time to play.
I need to play that too. So.
That's literally two dice and a pad of paper with,
need.
And a pencil each. It's amazing.
And it does. And so those games are super portable. Those types of games, absolutely brilliant. Anything else you want to highlight at the end of the show?
I've been really into two-player games at the moment. So Unmatched, I've been really getting into at the moment.
Heard a lot.
You talking about being portable, whatnot, taking on holiday. Literally, is a tiny board with miniatures and a deck of cards. So much fun. I bring it onto every night shift at work now.
Really?
And just keep going on about it. Like, who's playing Medusa? Who's going to play Sinbad? Who's going to play as, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? It's just so much fun, quick and easy.
You seem to get a lot of gaming done at work.
I do, because there's nothing
I'm
happens
jealous.
At night. It's the issue. And that's just it. It's easy to bring into work, and we have so much fun with it. I love Unmatched at the moment.
I've not played any Unmatched, and I've heard so much good stuff about it.
I'll bring one over. It's literally a 20-minute game.
Yeah,
just a deck of cards, place them out, done.
Fabulous.
On a similar variation to Roland, right? And you'll really enjoy, I think, Sonora.
Very good.
I've heard of this one.
It's a flick and write, so it combines your disc clicking from Crocodile. And then you fill in the results on your individual sheet of where you flicked your little counters to.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
nice.
Really
very
good
cool.
fun.
Nice.
We need to do an episode on that.
Yeah, Sonora is brilliant. So you're flicking your disc and then you're trying to flick it in a certain area of the mat that you flick it onto to score a certain way. Very, very clever. I think the world's first flick and write.
Yeah, and you get to totally cock around with other people by smashing into their discs.
Yeah, that's right. Viking crocker.
Another
Pandasaurus job, right?
It is, yes, indeed.
Typically fluorescent.
I found it on sale at UKGE. It's currently on sale on their website. Frustratingly, they're only shipping domestically in the US at the moment, so hopefully the worldwide crisis of shipping will subside at some point and we'll be able to order more directly, more readily. But it's available through other UK retailers for a pretty reasonable price.
And thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me on, guys.
Tell the listeners where they can find you.
Can I do my radio voice?
Do the radio. I wouldn't let you not do it.
Yeah, we'll edit you out unless we get the full presentation.
Take one. Here we go.
So my name is Ant, or as most people know me as the Ant-Man, and I host a podcast called the MTVB Podcast, the podcast that talks about my four favourite subjects. That's movies, TV shows, video games, and board games. Every episode is different based on one of those four subjects. Also end with the top five. Wayne and Simon have both been on the show many a times as well, either talking about board games or movies that Simon likes as well. Every listen helps. I appreciate the support.
And you've got a Facebook page and
TikTok and TikTok and everything. If you're one of those people, follow any of them. Just type in MTVB. That's all there.
Hands down with the kids.
I still don't
me.
Understand what TikTok is.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a noise that right.
It's background noise.
It's the noise of the clocks that I take the batteries out of if I'm trying to go to sleep. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Yeah, fabulous. Well. Thanks for listening to Bored Stupid. Subscribe to us for updates and to get future episodes of the show delivered directly to your ear holes via your favourite podcast service. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram and YouTube by searching Bored Stupid UK. And you can also find us at our home, anchor.fm/BoredStupid. More news on more content and more places to find us to come in the very near future. If you like our content, do us a massive favour and just interact with us.
Yep, we will chat to you. I run the Instagram, so I'll reply as soon as I see anything on there. Wayne's got the Twitter, although we're not so active on that one at the moment.
Because Twitter is a hellhole of...
It's fallen to pieces.
It's a hive of scum and villainy, so I'll try not to be on Twitter.
But Facebook, for sure, we'll all get through to you on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook you'll get us, Instagram you'll get us, even the new YouTube channel you'll get us pretty much straight away if you want to comment on some of that stuff. Just interact, we like it.
If you want to support us a little more, come to our affiliate link with the comic shop. So if you're hearing about all these wonderful games and you think you might want to buy them, head to thecomicshop.co.uk/boredstupid. Continue shopping as normal. We'll get a small kickback. You won't pay any different. And we'll support our local game store. So that would be fantastic. Pop along and give them a visit.
And more to the point, over £50 you'll get free shipping. So an extra bonus just for you listeners. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you again real soon.
Bye-bye.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.